Looking to transform your family game nights? At Perfectly Picked Games, we specialize in family games that bring everyone closer. Our games aren't just fun. Kids and teens will learn how to take turns, develop basic strategy skills, and understand the thrill of winning and grace of losing. With our exclusive gift of games, you can give months of gaming excitement to your family. Choose a 3-month or 6-month gift, and we'll deliver hand-picked family games to your doorstep every month. And here's the best part. Right now, you can use the promo code GOLDENMOJO and receive 20% off your selected plan. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer. Use promo code GOLDENMOJO and save 20% today at Perfectly Picked Games.
Jump into the Wayback Machine and go back to the 80s. I am your host, Golden Jay, and with me, as always, the one, the only, Frankie Vegas.
Hey.
And we are here to take you back to one of the greatest decades ever. It's going to be a season in hell.
What's up?
What's up, Frankie?
Hey, not much. What's happening? How's your week?
My week's good, man. I'm trying to figure out how to do this full time and not go back to a regular day job because, man, it's kicking my ass.
Yeah, that would be the dream right there.
It would be the dream, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I'm hoping. I need to figure out how to, get more listeners on the Golden 80s. Yeah. So those of you who listen to Golden 80s and enjoy me and Frankie's banter and our talk about all the things from the 80s that we loved, tell your friends. Send them links to the show. It's like, oh, you might like this. You remember this show. We talked about Ronald Reagan. Did we talk about Ronald Reagan?
I don't know. I'll have to go back. I'm starting to lose track of what we've talked about.
I know we've talked about. Well, Frankie, this is episode 49.
Yes, it is.
How do you feel about the fact that we made it to episode 49?
I can't even put into words. I didn't know if we would make it this far. You know, I honestly thought I was going to come in here, maybe do a few episodes, and Golden Jay was thinking, like, you know what? This just isn't working. You suck.
I would never, ever say that.
And by God, now I got my own shirt.
That's right. Look, you need to go to Golden Mojo ENT and pick up your very own Frankie Vegas t-shirt or midriff, depending on what you want. But yeah, Frankie Vegas right there in the shop. Can't go wrong.
Hey, and it doesn't have to be Frankie Vegas. It can be anything in the shop. I don't care what show, what. Just buy something.
Got a lot of good stuff on there. Some new Call Guy shirts are up. They are working on a 3-part series for Power Rangers. They're going to be working with Logan and the Skywalker.
Just Logan.
The ghost, the future ghost. Your host and future ghost, just Logan. He worked on some new t-shirts with the Power Ranger style logo. They're really badass. They're on the Call Guys section. Indiana Chiefs fans, you know, run angry. We got a run angry shirt on there with our logo. Yeah. What else we got?
Go to two stop. Go shop at Two Stop.
That you can find on the UnitedStatesParanormal.com.
Yeah, they got, you know, get you a pair of feet shirts.
Oh, man, those pair of feet shirts are awesome.
The Celestial.
You got to say it right.
I can't say it right.
You got to say it right.
The Celestial. I can't do it. I am not J-Dub. I cannot be J-Dub.
You couldn't even get out the whole thing.
I couldn't.
It is a Celestial Stag t-shirt with J-Dub on top with her croc. She's got croc cowboy boots on.
A bucket. Because she,
in a bucket. And, a riding crop. And, there might be an Easter egg in the photo somewhere. So go check it out. If you find it, let me know. You don't win anything. I don't have anything to give you. But, it's still let me know. The Golden Image 80s at
the call guy. There's the only one that can afford to give anything away.
I know, right? Yeah. What the hell? We really ought to think about that. We really ought to give something away.
Our time. We give them our time.
Oh, okay. There you go.
No. You're right. We'll have to.
We'll come up with something.
We'll come up with something.
Of course, this is episode 49, episode 50 and 51. We are going back to the future with Chico Noise, as you guys fire up the DeLorean, keeping it fueled. We're going to be talking about those two movies in the next two episodes with Chico Noise. And then episode 52. If you want to be on 52, give us a shout. We haven't sure what we're going to do yet, but I don't know. It might be just a What's Your Damage episode for all I know.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure something out.
We're not above going on the fly here. So.
Absolutely. But if you want to be a part of it, the goldenimage80s@gmail.com. Give us a shout. Let us know. Or if you have my phone number, text me. Some of you people who listen to this have my phone number. So text me if you want to be a part of the show.
Yeah, same with me if you have my number.
There you go. Text Frankie. Let him know if you want to be a part. Like I said, we may just do a What's Your Damage episode with the fans. I think that would probably be the funnest thing to do.
Yeah.
So, so 1 year is creeping up on us, Frankie. 1 year.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Most episodes, most podcasts, they say don't make it past 10. So, I think we're kicking ass right now.
Yeah, and if you try to go look up other 80s podcasts, you'll see that.
That was one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to collaborate with other 80s podcasts. And if you jump on there and look around, I mean, most of them are defunct. They put out 10, 15 episodes and called it quits.
And the one that are still out there, they've got so many followers and stuff, they probably would say, I don't have time for you. And I don't know that we would gel with them.
Well, that's the other thing.
And that's a big thing.
That is some of the couple of the ones that are still going I listen to. I'm like, this is not for us to be a part of. Their style is totally different than ours. And I don't know where we'd fit in with some of the way they do things. And that's okay. They're doing their thing. We're doing our thing. So
that's okay.
We'll figure something out. But, the biggest thing that we can ask is the fans who listen to us, tell all your friends to go check out Golden 80s Podcast. All right, Frankie, what have you been up to? Anything exciting?
Nope. As we're recording, I still don't have my new granddaughter yet.
Right.
But when you're hearing this, I will.
Uh-huh.
So, that's like my big thing right now that I'm...
Absolutely.
That I'm just waiting.
Waiting for the baby.
The baby. I love getting new grandkids.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm pretty fond of it myself.
Yeah. Well, it's fun because as grandfathers, we can spoil them.
Right.
Do whatever we want. Fill them up with sugar. Send them home. We don't have to have to deal with the aftermath.
It's
not
true.
Our problem.
Absolutely. Last weekend, I don't know if I touched on the last episode, but... I got to go golfing with my grandson for his first time on an actual golf course. And, man, that was a lot of fun. That's an experience that I was happy to be a part of. And he just about beat me, which is not really saying much because my golf game sucks. But it was fun to be out there with him and him kind of getting a feel for how to play the game of golf. And his drives were straight. His drives were straight. I'm very proud of him. So
now, does Aspen have his own clubs, or
he
was
does.
He just using your
nope,
clubs?
Nope, he has his own clubs. Well, he's a lot shorter than the rest of us.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
He's got to have something that fits him a little bit better. But, he had his own bag, his own clubs, and And now
he couldn't use Skywalkers, huh?
Well, he probably could have. They're about the same size.
Sorry, Skyler.
Skyler and his girl set of golf clubs. I'm kidding, buddy. I'm kidding. He actually has a really nice set of clubs. So, and he's getting really good at it. He's he won the four of us. He won the round. So. I come in third. Me and Aspen, come in the tail end of the team. But that's okay. We had fun. It was, like I said, it was great to be out there with him and be a part of his first time on a golf course. And I talked to him last night, and he's excited to get back out and play again. So
good.
I'm loving that he loves it. He just needs to work on his fairway a little bit and be don't let it frustrate him. That's the biggest thing is, know that it's not going to go your way every time. And, don't follow Grandpa's example of throwing your clubs. Yeah, that happened again this round. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to. I've been kind of playing some golf and working on podcast stuff. Got the yard mode. Got my hot tub situation finally figured out.
Yeah.
Thank God. Took forever.
I know you're working on the campsite.
Working on Jellystone.
Camp.
Yep.
You might be all ready by the time this hits the airwaves.
I'm hoping. Everything's open, so I mean I can go camp right now if I want to go camp, but the weather got a little chillier, so I'm trying to figure out whether we're working on the bathroom this weekend or what's going on for sure. And I got a leaking toilet, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't leak dirty water, thank God. So for some weird reason, it is leaking clean water. But we always talked about when we replaced the toilet, actually doing a revamp of the bathroom and kind of knocking that out. So she's got some new flooring picked out. And I told her she needs a fucking paint. I don't want to lay new flooring and then have her paint. That would suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's a messy painter.
That would.
Yeah. So I don't know what we're going
to
do.
I'll be interested to see what toilet you pick out.
I want the one that sucks down a bucket of golf balls in one flush. She thinks I'm crazy. But I don't want to flush twice.
Yeah.
In one time.
Hey. Hey, if she picked out the flooring, you get to pick out the toilet.
We did it. We were in there and we got samples of the flooring, and then we laid them all down to kind of figure out, we kind of picked some ones we liked, and then we laid them all out by the door, and then she ended up sending a Snapchat to our little family group that we have,
mm-hmm.
With Skylar Gunner and my mom and all that, and she's like, help us choose. She numbered them 1 through 5. So I think with number 4 won, because I think it had the most votes, but 2 and 3 had a couple votes. So we'll see what comes about. It's stupid. It's fucking stupid. I'm afraid that once I take that toilet up, though, I'm gonna have to replace some actual
flooring.
I hope not. I don't think it's bad enough that I gotta tear the whole floor out. I think I can just kind of put a new piece of plywood in there and around where the toilet's at. We'll see. I've had issues with that in the past where I've had to get down there and fix some shit. So it is what it is. I don't mind plumbing.
So did Jellystone got all the activity going and stuff?
No.
Or the weekend stuff?
Not yet. They officially turned the water on mid-April. Of course, by the time this comes out, I'm not sure exactly. Mother's Day weekend is usually their first big weekend where they start that whole series up.
Okay.
So we'll have bands, we'll have food trucks, they'll have activities for the kids all day long on the weekends. Whether it be, what is it called, shaving cream wiffle ball, where they fill the wiffle ball full of shaving cream and the kids hit it and fucking shit flies everywhere.
Nice.
They do some sort of like bubble machine that looks like snow the kids can go play in. And they have the parachute toss where they throw candy bars in the middle of the parachute and the kids are flipping them up in the air and trying to catch them. And, they do all kinds of shit for the kids all weekend long.
Cool.
There are things for the adults. They have the golf cart games and different things like that. They have the twinkle lights that they run about 10 o'clock on Saturday night where you can go up to the ball field and line up, and then they drive around the entire campground with all your twinkle lights on or whatever, underglow.
Sounds fun.
It is. It's a great place.
I'm going to have to come out there one weekend and just get the golden experience.
You're going to have to do it, man. And maybe we'll record a podcast out there while we're there. Maybe. That'll be fun.
I came up with the title, The Golden Experience. Look at that. Didn't even try.
It is an experience. No, it's a lot of fun. They have on the big weekends, they usually run a couple times a month. They'll have bands, local bands that come in and play. So you go up there and you sit on your golf cart and you watch the band, and they have the dance floor up there, and a lot of people go up and dance and have a good time. But, I think we talked to, when we talked to Dan from the 1980s,
1985,
sorry. He talked about never, the only time they ever played out there was like weirdest thing to look out and see everybody on their golf carts. But they do that shit. And of course the big weekends, Memorial Day, 4th of July and Labor Day are always huge. They have three bands all weekend long, one Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and food trucks galore. I mean, there's just a ton of shit going on up there. And then, of course, one weekend, I can't remember, it might be around Labor Day. I can't remember if it's actually Labor Day weekend or whether it's a different weekend, but they have a carnival. They have the carnival come in, and it's insane with all the rides and shit like that. Last couple of years, they've done the veterans helicopter rides. So they have the big helicopters. I can't think of what they're called. What are those helicopters called? I don't know. I can't think of what it is right now. I want to say the Heelys, but I don't know if that's right or not. But
don't know my helicopters. So
they have these helicopters come in and they take veterans on a ride.
Okay.
And it's just a nonstop circle.
They're like military helicopters?
Yeah, military helicopters.
Give somebody flashback doing that.
That could be too.
Right?
You hear that song from the Vietnam War movies? What is that?
Something's happening here.
Exactly. But no, they seem to love it, and our friend Phil from Indiana Chiefs fans been on it a couple times, so. Because, he served, and so he's able to get in on that. And it's a really cool option they throw out there. So a lot of things going on.
Sounds cool. Sounds fun.
Jellystone, baby.
I'm going to have to make it out there.
You're going to have to come out one weekend. And spend the afternoon and evening just doing the golf cart and hanging out and watching all the crazies run around there.
I mean, I hung out at Jellystone for one summer, but what I was doing was totally different than what you.
You might get bored with me after a while, because a lot of times we'll just sit on the deck and people watch.
Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
It's just constant driving around.
Hey, when I go to Vegas, that's some of the funnest stuff I do, sitting on the patio bar, sitting there just watching some of these idiots get out there and get drunk and be stupid.
And there's a lot of those out there, too. It's amazing. All right, Frankie, what do you got for me today?
Oh, for the question of the pod?
80s edition.
Suck it, Colton. I feel so bad when it. No, I don't.
No,
I'm
you
lying.
Don't. Don't lie.
But anyway, okay. So, for what we're talking about, people know we're talking about Eddie and the Cruisers, too.
Yeah, Eddie Lubes.
Eddie and the Cruisers, and the soundtracks that come. What was your favorite 80s soundtrack from a movie?
Oh, it's going to sound so terrible, but it was my first soundtrack that I ever bought, and that was for Footloose.
Footloose?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a lot of love for that album. It was one of the first ones I got. I remember I remember watching that movie for the first time with a girl that I really, really liked. We were, we were young. I mean, don't get me wrong, but we were boyfriend, girlfriend. I remember being at her house. It's one of the few times early on I got to go out. Were you looking around?
Wait for Bobby to walk
she
in.
She doesn't have cameras out here. She never listens to the episode. But, you know, I was really, really young, and I remember watching that movie with her because it was one of her favorites. And I got the soundtrack, and, I loved the movie. I still love the movie. The Kevin Bacon version is, I think, better than the remake, but the remake's not bad. But, yeah, I got the soundtrack, and... I Need a Hero's on there. The Kenny Loggins is doing the Footloose song. Just there was a lot of good stuff on there. So, but it'd be Jump Up though between that and the Breakfast Club soundtrack. So those two would be really close because I had that one early on too.
Yeah,
a lot of great songs. How about you?
Oh, very easy. Purple Rain.
Oh man, I didn't think about Purple Rain.
It's one of those I can listen to that song, those songs. First song to last song.
Right.
And not skip one. Except maybe Computer Blue. But
oh, I like
that. It's still good.
But the Computer Blues.
But other than but they're all great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did have the Purple Rain soundtrack. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. It's so funny that I forgot because I just had a conversation with somebody today about Princess Purple Rain. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we need to put that on our list to go over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why it has not been done yet.
Well,
but
we got to save something for year two.
Two, yeah. Mm-hmm. We can't do all the good stuff.
We can't
Jackson Pollard that son of a bitch right in the first year.
Well, no. But Footloose is the same way. It's like great song after great song after great song, So I totally, that's definitely on my list too.
Yeah, I don't know why that was the first one that popped in my head, but I think that was my first soundtrack and from a movie that I liked, and I think that was, for sure. I'm interested, people out there, thegoldenimage80s@gmail.com. How many of you actually seen Purple Rain? Because I talked to a lady today, and Frankie raised his hand, he's seen it.
A few times.
I talked to a lady today about our age. She might be a little bit older than us. She'd never seen Purple Rain. And the two girls who were sitting there we were talking with have never seen it. And I just was awestruck that you just have not seen.
I mean, I can understand if you would have said, like, Under the Cherry Moon or something like that. Okay, nobody cares about those.
That movie was so bad. Purple Rain was so good.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. Little Footloose, little Purple Rain.
Yep.
Throw in a little Breakfast Club.
Yeah. We have done Breakfast Club. We do got to do Footloose, and we do got to do
We need Purple to write Rain. This shit down.
Yeah, we do. That'll be something for a pre-production meeting someday. I have to... Write down a new list.
We do need to make a new list. I mean, we are 49 episodes in.
I mean, we still got some from our first list, but there's stuff like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, we talked about it originally, like, oh, that'd be a fucking great idea. And then we're like, we got so much more to choose from.
Yeah, I was going to do the Colts coming to Indianapolis, and I'm like, nobody's going to care about this shit.
Golden Jay is just going to rip my ass because they snuck out in the middle of the night, kind of Indianapolis. Yeah, that's a sneaky
But they kind of had to. And if you want to hear that story, you write in and tell me that you want me to do that story, and I'll do it.
There you go. TheGoldenImage80s@gmail.com.
Yeah. I'm not going to say the email because I can't.
We're supposed to be getting a new one.
Yeah, I'm trying. They won't let me put a new one in.
That's all right. I like it now. I'm getting used to it. TheGoldenImage80s@gmail.com.
TheGoldenImage80s@gmail.com. Okay, anyway.
All right, Frank, you ready to get into today?
Yes, I am. Well, I hope you are.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Golden Jay lives.
This 1989 sequel to the 1983 film Eddie and the Cruisers is directed by Jean-Claude Lord and, of course, based on characters created by author P.F. Klug. Michael Pierre and Matthew Lawrence reprised their roles as Eddie Wilson and Sal Amato. And this film was marketed with the tagline, the legend, the music, the man. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You already know what we're doing. This is the sequel to Eddie and the Cruisers. This is Eddie and the Cruisers 2. Eddie Lives.
What'd they say?
I'm going to start off by saying I liked number two better than number one.
And from everything I've researched, I would agree with that.
So listen. We were actually supposed to cover this a couple episodes ago, these movies. And, of course, Frankie couldn't find a place to stream them, which is fine. So I loaned him my Blu-ray double set of the
which I had to go out and buy a Blu-ray player to watch.
No, you're fucking kidding me, really?
No, I am not.
Oh,
no.
Dude, I'm because so sorry.
I was going to play them in my PS3. Uh-huh. I liked all the PS3, and I could play Blu-ray in them. Couldn't find any of my controller to control it, and nobody seemed to know where they're at. So I had to go out and buy an actual Blu-ray player.
Really? Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
Now you have a Blu-ray player now to I have a play Blu-ray. All the Blu-rays you have. There yeah, there you go. that's funny. anyway, so Frankie gets to watch Eddie and the Cruisers, and then what happened?
Well, the first time I watched Eddie and the Cruisers, I watched the first one, no problem. Well, I ended up falling asleep during Eddie Lives, number two. And so I'm like, okay, you know, it happened. I was tired. So I started watching it again later the next day. I got called into work. We had a girl that had a personal incident, and she needed to be off for a while, and I was the only one available to come in.
Right on.
I could have told him to kiss my ass.
You could have.
But I didn't because that's not how
he is a team player.
I am a team player.
Team player.
You know.
So how far did you get in Eddie and the Cruisers 2?
Maybe 25 minutes.
Oh, well, hell, the movie's only an hour 20 long, or hour and 10 long, so you didn't do too bad.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's a little, wait, it's 100, wait, what is it, 104 minutes? It's 104 minutes long, so, all right, you might have missed the second hour.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm going to go back and say that this one is one of my favorites. I did talk about in the last episode, in Eddie and the Cruisers, at the very end of the movie, you did see Eddie Wilson. So you knew that he was still alive. You knew that their play on, you know, him faking his death. This actually picks up with him now living in, I think, Toronto, Canada. And, you know, kind of moving on with his life. It's 2 years, quote unquote, you know, 2 years after the original Eddie in the Cruisers movie, you know, in the timeline of the movie. So when they made the TV series, the TV show that they were talking about, the 18th anniversary, now it's the 20th anniversary of the original album, which I think was called Tender Years.
Yes.
So now it's the 20th, you know, at the end of the first movie, they gave the tapes that they had stashed to Doc. Doc goes and makes a deal with, what was the name of the record company now? I'm thinking.
Satin
Records. There you go. They go make a deal with Satin Records and they hand over the tapes for Season in Hell. So now they're going to release this on the 20th anniversary. But they're just making a big blowout of this because all of a sudden, Satin Records re-releases the original Tender Years. They release Season in Hell, and you know the promotion behind it is huge. So they have Eddie Wilson lookalike contest, and they give Sal Amato a gold record, you know, and so on and so forth. Of course, Eddie hears about it and drives down to New York to see everything that's going on. And, of course, at this point now, he is just tormented by the fact that he is everywhere. Eddie Lives is what they've done with this. So he ends up going to a hockey game and he meets this girl who's an artist and she sees the pain and torment in his eyes, and she wants to paint him, and she follows him around to a bar where the band playing has this saxophone player. What was the name of the saxophone player? I'm going to have to look real quick. It's stupid because I should know this. Hilton Overstreet, I do believe, was the saxophone player. He has a lot of the same sound and feel as Wendell Newton did. Yeah. The original sax player from the Cruisers, the one that died in the movie. So, you know, here's Eddie, and he's kind of having these flashbacks of Wendell and stuff like that. Well, he strikes up, he buys him a drink, and they get to talking. And of course, the guitar player for the band is like, well, you know, I was looking for a new guitar player. And of course, Eddie's like, you need to learn to play the one you got before you go getting somebody else. Of course, you know, that incident happens there. So they get him up on stage. He's like, you know, a man's playing is, you know, speaks louder than words. So Eddie gets up on stage and starts playing, immediately has a flashback when Hinton starts playing the saxophone and leaves. But he runs into the painter girl, and, you know, they end up going back to her place and you know, looks at all her paintings and stuff like that. She invites him to a show. She ends up painting him from memory. And so one of my favorite lines from this movie is when they're in an apartment, she was talking to him about her art. And he's like, I don't understand why there's so much red. And of course, you know, she's like, I'm just trying to exhaust my reds, you know, put in too much. So you're just exhausted by them. So he's in this gallery, you know, he's one of us, Frankie, you know, blue jeans and a fucking t-shirt amongst all these preppy ass motherfuckers and their diamonds and pearls. And he's standing there looking at this one, and the lady goes, you paint? And he goes, yeah, buildings. And she's like, oh, because, you know, he's a construction worker. He paints buildings.
Oh, and he is going by the name Joe West.
Sorry, I did forget the, yeah, Joe West. Yeah, he was not going by Eddie. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, he changed his name, moved to Canada. Go figure that one.
Eh?
Eh. But he ends up looking at her, and she's like, well, what do you think of this one? And just out of just that comedic style, he's like, I love the way she exhausts her reds, you know. And, of course, now this Rudy Tootie woman's like, oh, yeah, I didn't, yeah. Yeah, so. But he ends up finding the painting that she painted, and he takes it off the rack, and they leave together, and you know, they kind of strike up a relationship. So it's kind of an interesting thing. And of course, in the midst of all that is when he confesses to her who he is, because of all the shit that's going on with the re-release of Season in Hell. And of course, you can't have it just that simple.
No.
No, in the reels that they found, which doesn't make a bit of sense if you know that Joanne was the one that went in and basically took Season in Hell from Satin. If you knew that, you don't ever figure out how the second reel got involved in that. But when they turned it in, they found a second reel of Eddie, what they called the mystery tapes. So now they've really snowballed this. And who played on the mystery tapes, and was it before or after Eddie's car went off that bridge? And I mean, just so much more that they wrap in, that Satin Records wraps up into this deal. And in the meantime, Diane, the girl, the painter, ends up convincing Joe, we'll call him Joe, we won't call him Eddie, convinces Joe to join the band with Rick Diesel. That guitar player, and they go around and they find, Stuart, I think Stuart was the keyboard player. Charlie was the drummer, and Quinn was the bass player. They end up recruiting those guys along the way, because they had already scouted them. They knew he knew who he would pick for a band if he was going to get a band together. So they start rehearsing, and of course, it just snowballs from there. They are a really good band, but Eddie wants to practice and make the music perfect. the guys are used to playing out and they really push to get that done. So they tour and then they have a festival opportunity that comes up. And once again, Eddie takes them off into a cabin just to practice and tighten the music back up. And in the middle of that, we talked about bands having conflict, and there's a big conflict, and Eddie breaks his guitar, or Joe West breaks his guitar and then proceeds to go outside and burn his notebook full of lyrics. And that's when Hinton comes out and confesses that he knows who he is, you know, in that great line, "It would be terrible to lose all those songs from the great Eddie Wilson." And of course his reply is, "Well, they're not, must not be great, 'cause they don't even burn very well." So he talks him into the festival. Joe is still fighting with the fact that, of what's going on. He needs to, explain to Sal, who's been kind of hit and missing through this movie. He, you know, he was there to collect a record, and he's fighting for the fact that this mystery tape, that there's no way that's Eddie, because if Eddie was alive, then he'd be playing with Sal because they were best friends. And so Joe shaves off his mustache and takes off his Clark Kent glasses by shaving his mustache. Because no, nobody will recognize him without the, you know, with the mustache on, and goes down to New Jersey and sees Sal. And, he explains that, that him and Wendell had been just a jam session. And that's how he knew that that's what he wanted more than anything else, is that's how he wanted to make music. 'Cause they were just having fun and just, you know, just doing their thing. And, they talk about the car wreck and so on and so forth. So now you've got Joe West going to play this giant festival. Of course, Rick Diesel sent off the demo tape to Satin Records because all he wants is a record deal, because he's a young, ego-driven guitar player. Imagine that, Frankie.
Yeah.
And Lou Eisen shows up, plus his apprentice that has now pretty much taken over Satin Records. And, of course, Lou recognizes who Joe West is right away. There's a big battle between Eddie and Diane in the car, where she's like, "Let's go do it right this time," you know, because he's trying to leave. And she gets in the car and she's like, "Let's go do it right. Let's go find a bridge and just drive off of it and do it right." You know, it's kind of that defining moment of the movie. And she looks at him, she goes, "Tomorrow everybody's going to know that you're still alive, but you still have tonight, so go out and play." And he gets up there and plays, and the crowd's going crazy. And then he pretty much is, announces who he is.
Yep.
And that's how they pretty much ended it, with the crowd chanting, "Eddie, Eddie,
Eddie, Eddie." Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's it in a nutshell, really. I mean, the music in it's great. They wrote some. John Cafferty once again comes in and does the soundtrack for this. It's amazing. They do a great job. My favorite song on this album is the New York City song. Fucking love that song. I've actually performed it a couple times in my you know, my day. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I'm not very good at it because he's you know, John Cafferty's got a pretty solid voice and. Sometimes I couldn't reach all the notes, but it's a great song. Anything else you want to add? I know you only got like half an hour into this movie.
Yeah. Well, the thing, and doing my research, and then I am going to go back and eventually watch this. Because when Joe, Eddie, whoever, when he plays, you see Hilton's eyes, and they widen. And then he says later on that he knew who he was from the moment he played.
He called it like a fingerprint.
So, yeah, and now it's like, okay, you go back to that. And because I did see that part where where he played the first time he played in front of them.
I think it had a little bit to do with the fact that when Joe was talking to Hilton for the first time, He was like, well, how did you know what my favorite drink was? And he was like, I was in this club in Jersey, and the saxophone player shows up late and done the first set from the front row, you know, setting on his ass from the front row. And then he looks at him and says, you sound a lot like Wendell Newton. And I think that was kind of that. I think he had an inkling at that point where, you know, in the movie where he's like, you know, because it was so long ago, there was no way. I'm sure that that club was probably pretty small. He would know who was in that club that night, if that's something you remember.
Yeah.
You know, if Eddie Wilson is sitting there watching you play, you're going to remember that. And then, of course, like you said, once he started playing and singing, I mean, it just, it, you could tell it was a light bulb. He knew right away. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Do you want to go, anything else you want to touch on?
Yeah, I just wonder, how hard do you think it would be to fake your death and just stay gone and not, I mean, and be able to keep up that, you know, what do you want to call it, that act of somebody else without anybody catching on, like, hey, you're Jeremy Golden. I know you are, you know.
I think a lot of it revolve around, for me, the fact that, you know, you've given up your life and you've given up your family. And for him, it wasn't necessarily like a mom and dad and sister.
Yeah.
This was his band family. These are the people he walked away from. You know, Kenny and Frank and Joanne. I mean, he basically just, and Sal, obviously, walked away from them 100%. I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I could live my life without my family, my friends around me all the time. And going, I mean, obviously Joe West made new friends while I was in Canada. They went to hockey games together and he worked with them and stuff like that. But I would think that'd be the hardest part to do, just to walk away from that family aspect of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think it's a great story. It really is. I don't understand how this movie didn't do better than what it did, you know, both of them. You know?
Right.
But they have a great story to them.
They do. And we talked about this before we started. What did they had a Canadian budget of $9 million. We don't know exactly what that turns out to in real money.
In real money.
In the American dollar. But it only made 536.
Yeah, it
thousand
next to nothing.
It, next to nothing.
You know, made back its cigarette budget. You know? I don't think cigarettes weren't bad.
Were as bad, but they were still prominent in this movie.
Yeah.
But I did read that, you know, this film was only released in 402 screens nationwide on the weekend of August 18th, 1989, where it grossed the $536,000, was quickly pulled from theaters. But then they turned right around in January of 1990 and released it on DVD. Well, they released it on VHS. They released it in DVD in, what, 2008?
Yeah, so I'm sure the movie probably had made a lot more than...
It has to have made a lot more.
Yeah.
I did think this was interesting too, Frankie. Did you realize that this film was quickly made in like 30 days?
Yeah, I had read that, yeah.
Between March and April of 89 is when they actually shot this film. The concert scenes for the final finale and Eddie's big return on stage were filmed April 24th, 1989 in Las Vegas, Paradise, Nevada?
Paradise, Nevada, yeah.
Okay.
Paradise, it's the same.
It's a suburb. It's like a suburb of Vegas. Okay. At the Thomas and Mack Center, in between Bon Jovi headlining for the New Jersey tour, and as Skid Row as the opening act.
I wonder if the people that were in attendance for that concert, if that kind of pissed them off. Because, you know, it's like a different genre of type of music.
Oh, I can understand that. But at the same time, you're like, hey, we're going to be in this fucking movie. And all we got to do is go, Eddie, Eddie, Eddie.
And smoke a cigarette.
And
man.
Smoke a cigarette. It'll be, they're going to let us smoke in here?
Shit.
So, yeah, I mean, There you go. I mean, that's a. Yeah.
Do you think because of the, well, of course, they may have had it cast before they decided how long they were going to film, but nobody other than Sal and Eddie were really back from the original.
Well, we did talk about the girl that played played Maggie, Ellen Barkin.
Yeah,
she did not like filming the original Eddies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would imagine that anything with her coming back would probably be, you know, stale, and she didn't want to do it.
But the main character,
I would think that Tom would have wanted to come back, but maybe they didn't have the budget for it since it was so quick, and maybe by then he was already been in Major League. I don't know what year Major League come out.
It may have just been timing. Could have been a lot of it, you know.
One of the big things that bugs the shit out of me in Eddie Lives is that Joe West has a flashback because remember I told you early in the movie he goes to New York to see the Satin Records release of Season in Hell, the Eddie lookalike contest. But he leaves there and he goes out to the Jersey Shore and he's standing on the boardwalk and he's looking out at an empty beach area because, you know, it's, well, I don't even know what time of year it is. It looks cold because he's wearing a jacket and there's no snow on the ground or anything like that. But he's sitting there and I don't know that you caught this because you did. I think this would be early enough that you probably watched it.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, he's sitting there and he gives a flashback of him sitting on the beach having the conversation he had with Frank Ridgway about words and music. You know, and I talked about this in the last episode, you know, like everybody soils sheets. You soil them, you roll them up, and you send them out to laundry. That's what we do. And in that scene in Eddie and the Cruisers, they flash back between Eddie and Frank. And Eddie and Frank, words and music, they go together. They're like this. In Eddie and the Cruisers 2, they flash back between Eddie and Sal. And it is the worst cut take, of Sal Amato sitting there trying to look young in a fucking beach, in a Charlie Sheen fucking bowling shirt. And it's just like, I hate that scene the most. That is the worst scene in that fucking movie. They should have done without it. And if you weren't bringing back Tom, I'm drawing a blank on Tom's last name.
Beringer.
Thank you very much. If you're not bringing back Tom Beringer, then don't put the fucking thing in the movie because it doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hated that scene. What scene did you? Well, you didn't watch it all the way through.
No, I mean, from what I did get to see, there wasn't anything I hated. You know.
The music is so good.
I do wish he would have entered the Eddie lookalike contest.
Oh, fuck, how would that have been? Is it Joe West?
Joe West, yeah.
That would have been killer. Because, yeah, he looks all bulked up in the beginning as Joe West. Like, you would never recognize him. Yeah. But once he shaves out that mustache and puts that leather jacket back on, boom, that's Eddie Wilson. Yeah. Crazy. You want to run through the cast real quick? I don't know that there's a ton of.
I don't think they have a huge cast.
We get them introduced to, Quinn and Charlie and Stewart are.
Okay, Michael Perry, you know, Eddie Wilson, Joe West.
Right.
We talked about him.
Yep.
Michael Antuned as Wendell Newton.
And Wendell doesn't make it like he doesn't. Everything he's in is flashbacks. So,
yeah, it's not.
Yeah, it's not like he's actually there.
It's like, no, I didn't really die of an overdose.
Here I am. I'm playing saxophone. Yeah. Anyways.
And then, okay, then we get into Marina Orsini.
There you go.
And Diane Armani.
Yeah, and that's the painter, Diane. That's
the painter.
Yep.
I don't know if you want
and the
talk.
Girlfriend who goes on tour with him. Yeah. Sorry, Dor. Yeah. I laugh because I know what I mean.
Yeah. I just look around. I'm not seeing much of what she.
No, she didn't really do anything else. Nah. She's a beautiful girl, beautiful woman.
Have you seen like a recent picture of her?
Mm, Yeah, I am right now.
Yeah, she doesn't look the same.
She doesn't look the same. Well, she's gorgeous in this movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
She's not that bad.
No, no, she's not. I'm just saying. She doesn't look the same. You can tell she gotten older. Yeah. And, yeah.
Let me show you a picture of me younger.
Yeah. Mm. I still see it, though. but she was from Quebec. I think she's married to a hockey coach or something.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, then we have Bernie Coulson as Rick Diesel. That's not the most 80s name.
Rick Diesel. Rick Diesel was my favorite character in this because he's so hot and cold. You know, he's so passionate about the band and then he's so laid back about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and he makes all these dumb mistakes, but he's just kind of arrogant that way. And I don't know. I just found him as one of my favorite characters of this movie.
And he's known for his role as the thinker on the X-Files.
Yeah.
Michael Reardon on Intelligence, and as Pipe Fitter, the drummer of a reuniting punk rock band and the Canadian mockumentary Hardcore Logo.
Hardcore Logo, baby.
Never seen it.
No, me neither. It's a Canadian movie, eh?
It's a Canadian. I'm trying to think if they're trying to...
Do Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
It could be.
Canadian.
The Canucks. The Canadian. Yeah, eh?
But yeah, but that's what he seemed to be known for.
Uh-huh.
And Eddie and the Cruiser, too.
Yeah, Rick is my favorite character.
Okay. And then you got Matthew Lawrence again as Salamato, which is my least favorite
character. He's just as ignorant in this movie, too. So.
Yeah. All right. Then we go to another new character, Anthony Sherwood as Hilton Overstreet.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, just to touch on him, I mean, he was a really big part of this movie. Even though he was kind of a supporting actor, he really in this movie kind of was Joe's rational thought. He kind of got Joe to do the things that the guys wanted him to do because of the way he worded shit. And, you know, he's like, you know, Eddie or Joe's right. You know, we got a good sound and, you know, we're putting together some good music. And then he would turn to Joe and go, but the music's only as good as who you play it for. You know, if you're not playing for people, then you might as well just be playing for the trees, you know. So yeah. He plays a pivotal role in actually convincing Joe West to go do some of the things that they go do. Otherwise, he probably would have just scrapped it and went back into fucking construction work.
Yeah, he did, for everything I could find, he just seemed to be, you know, a working musician of what he is.
Right on.
Keeping busy, you know.
Oh, right.
He's not, I mean, nothing that I've really ever heard of. But I'm noticing that a lot of these people are all Canadians.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they're, you know, they're doing their stuff up.
Well, I mean, we did talk about this. It was shot in 30 days, and most of it was, you know, based around being in Canada. But... this makes sense that they would actually shoot it up here.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got David Matheson as Stuart Fairbanks, and he did not have a...
He doesn't have anything on
him. He doesn't have a Wikipedia.
It's just probably, it was probably his one-off, yeah. Unless he changed his name. You know, yeah, you never know. Yeah. He was the keyboard player. He was a classical piano player when they first find him, so
okay.
And then they turned him into a rocker, which in turn, then again, you know, when you take somebody who just plays by themselves classical music and then put him in a band situation, yeah. You know, there was some stuff with him about, you know, lagging behind and things like that. So, but he was in the movie, he was a great keyboard player, great piano player.
Okay, and our next one is Mark Holmes as Quinn Quinley.
He was the bass player in the movie that they picked up from, you know, just a local club band. They were been scouting him. He was, you know, a really good bass player.
Kind of looked like CeCe DeVille. poison in that picture.
The best line ever in the whole movie was Joe looking at him going, "On your feet, Quinn," because all they wanted to do was sit down while they was practicing, and Joe didn't like that. So I've used that line in my own practice room. I would look at my guitar player, and he was a big Eddie II fan, and I just look at him and go, "On your feet, Quinn," and I'd make him stand up. So, Big Fat Billy Ray, if you're listening to this, you know I'm talking about you.
He best known as the lead vocalist for the Canadian rock band Platinum Blonde. I have never heard of them.
Never heard of Platinum Blonde?
No. I will hear of them tonight on my way home.
There you go.
I will listen.
I'm trying to think, did they have anything that we know about?
I don't know. But they certainly look like somebody I would have listened to.
Oh, yeah, they got that 80s look, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They don't got a real long. Cool. Anyway, yeah, you go check them out. You let me know what you think.
Yeah, I certainly will. And then we got Harvey Akin as Lou Eisen.
Yep. So the guy, that's the same guy, right? As an original, I believe so, but.
I don't know.
He looked the same in the movie.
He might be, yeah. But.
What?
But okay, the next guy, let me see, Harvey Akin. Yeah, he passed away in July of 2017.
I don't think it was the same guy.
I don't know.
I'm going to look. You keep going on.
But yeah, he known for his roles as Morty Melnick in Meatballs, Sergeant Ronald Coleman in Cagney and Lacey. He did some voicing for the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
No, Kenny Lance played Lou in the original.
Yeah.
Kenny Vance. So yeah.
That's right.
Sorry.
Good. But yeah. So after that, we got Paul Markle as sexy Charlie Tansy.
Yeah, he was the drummer in the movie.
Yeah, and he doesn't have anything on Wikipedia.
No, I think he's pretty much, he was, I think I looked him up because I was curious to see if he was an actor or musician. He is a musician. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he really ever got out of the club scene. He pretty much did that.
Okay.
So I don't know that he did anything beyond that, but he kind of looked like Bobby Rock. That's why I was really, that's why I really took on, because, you know, he had that Bobby Rock look from early Bobby Rock, you know, Vinnie Vincent Invasion and the Nelsons.
Then we have as Lindsay Caputo, Kate Lynch,
Lindsay Caputo. I tell you who Lindsay Caputo is, but I have no idea who she was.
She actually won a Genie Award for Best Actress in Meatballs.
Oh, there's a lot of Meatballs going on here.
Yeah, yeah. Bill,
Yep.
With Bill Murray.
I'm trying to figure out who she played in Eddie and the Cruisers.
I just told you.
Well, I know who you told me. She played Lindsay Caputo, but I can't remember who Lindsay Caputo was.
I don't know.
I don't either.
And then I know after that we got Elizabeth McCrae. She played news reporter number 3.
Well, of course, number 3. That's the most important fucking job on the thing. News reporter number 3.
Is that like tree number 2?
That's lamb number 5. Wise man number 2, wise man number 1. Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course, you know, we had special guest appearances by Larry King, Martha Quinn, and Bo Diddley, because Bo Diddley was one of the guys who played on the mystery tapes, which is how they kind of figured out that it was all pre-Eddie's car leaving that bridge. So kind of shot Satin Records fucking Eddie Libs kind of thing in the ass.
Yeah.
So it became a big thing towards the end, but yeah, there you go. I don't know, man.
Do you think they should do a part 3?
Absolutely. Fuck yeah. I go to
for the
I'd drive an hour at some theater to go fucking see it. You know I would.
Yeah, for the record album being like, Eddie, you're alive. You owe us three more fucking albums.
You signed a contract for five albums. You only gave us three. They count the mystery tapes as an album? You know they made a buttload of money on the releases and all that shit. I mean,
they would have had to. In real life, they'd have made.
Yeah.
Made big money.
Well, you know that.
Because they said the first album, when they re-released it in the movie, it made more, was more popular the second time than it was the first time. And it was huge the first time.
Yeah. That is true. They love me better. They love me better dead than alive. The name of the band, the new band, was called Rock Solid. So
Rock Solid, yeah.
I'm assuming that they got signed after that. After that festival appearance, and that, there you go. There could be the next movie.
Yeah, there you go. Eddie and the Rock Solids.
I don't think it works quite that way. Yeah. Would they change the name back to the Cruisers? Be Eddie and the Cruisers again? Knockout Rock Solid?
Well, no, because I got a feeling that if he tried to do that,
the record company.
Sal would have a little temper tantrum.
Well, Sal does send him a note at the very end. You know, Eddie lives, so I think Sal, because Eddie asked him to come back. He goes, "I got a band back here in Canada, we could use you."
Yeah.
Even though Quinn Quinlan could kick his ass on the bass, but and he's like way younger, so I don't know what the fuck he was thinking, Sal turned him down. So, I mean, you know, once you say no, you lose all your rights.
But I guess that would be kind of like if you had a band that was doing real good and, you know, your best friend, say Scotty T, went down on his luck and you're like, or not getting the music, doing what he wanted to do musically, would you not offer him a spot and say, hey, I got a drummer, but if you want to be my drummer, you're my best friend, my former drummer. You know,
I guess it depends on how good the new drummer is.
Damn, I'm sorry, Scotty. I was trying, man.
I kid. Of course you know I would. Of course you know I would. Well, God, my new drummer is probably Gunner. So, I mean, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. Of course, I don't even think, does Scotty even have an interest to play anymore?
I don't know. We haven't really talked about it.
Yeah. I mean, not that I'm trying to put more on your plate.
Nope,
sorry.
I don't need any more on my plate.
Yeah, I'm not meaning to try to get your wheel turning.
No, I just want to do.
I want to put one of my bands back together.
I just want to get a jam session going.
Yeah.
I just miss doing that. I've been trying to figure out when I'd have time to do that and just call everybody up. It's like, man, we need to get a jam session going.
Do a jam session and record it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I'd do with it, but it'd be fun.
Let me listen to it.
Yeah, there you go. Oh,
or just invite me over.
I didn't say, are you not coming over to hang out? You're bringing the beer and the pizza. What are you talking about?
I can do that. I can definitely bring the pizza.
I know you can. All right, my man. We need to get out of here,
okay,
bro.
Okay, yeah, we do. What time is it? Okay.
Yeah, we're cruising right along here.
Yeah, but we kept in within the hour per episode.
Pretty close. Yeah,
a little bit over. But
I knew we would talk a little bit longer about these because I'm very passionate about these two movies.
I am going to eventually finish watching part two because I did enjoy one.
Right.
And everything I've researched and read, and I was enjoying it before I fell asleep.
If
he
wasn't so
work.
Damn tired, right.
Yeah. So I will find out where I can stream two or re-borrow the Blu-ray
You can always re-borrow the Blu-ray. Because
I have a Blu-ray player.
Yeah, you can always re-borrow the Blu-ray. It's okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, Frankie's working way hard and not only on this podcast but in everyday life. So you got to support him with you purchasing a Frankie Vegas T-shirt. That way you, ma'am, who just ordered that pizza from where Frankie works at, can just open the door and nothing but your Frankie Vegas Midriff T-shirt. It would make his day. I'm just saying. You know you want to. You know I want you to. It'll be okay. Just go to goldenmojoent.com and open up the merch store and go ahead and purchase that Midriff shirt. And then as soon as it comes in, order that pizza. But make sure you ask for Frankie Vegas as a delivery driver. Because you don't want it to be awkward if somebody else delivers that pizza. Frankie's over here going, God, you're about to get me fucking divorced.
No, not at all. I'm trying to think who else. Well, because some of the, you know, there's a couple of the guys that deliver.
I didn't say if it was a man or a female, male or female.
I was thinking the one guy, they call him the Viking, they would probably like it better if he delivered.
Yeah.
He's a bodybuilder.
Oh, you know, dang.
In Argus. So, and then the other guy that delivers for me and Mentone, he's like a 16, 17-year-old kids. So.
Be careful. Be careful.
Be careful with that.
Yeah, you make sure you ask for Frankie Vegas to deliver your pizza.
Some of those girls who answer the phone might go, who?
Who? I don't even know who the fuck that is. Whoever Frankie Vegas! They all should know. Anyway.
They should. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Go check out Golden Mojo ENT. You can not only can you find Golden 80s on there, but you can find everybody else in the Golden Mojo Entertainment Empire, which include the Call Guys, Golden Image Podcast, the United States of Paranormal, Indiana Chiefs fans, Murd Nerds, and a Court of Books and Booze. We all have write-ups. There is a merch store. You can find all kinds of cool merchandise on there. Get out there. Help support the pod. Absolutely. We'd appreciate it. Yeah. We're trying to bring you good content and so much more.
Oh, yeah.
We got ideas. Yeah. Next week, Chico Noise in-house. Next two episodes Absolutely. Of Back to the Future 1 and 2 and probably a little bit of 3 in the second episode.
You got to.
I think absolutely. So even though it didn't come out in the 80s.
No, it did not.
It did not.
It was filmed in the 80s.
Absolutely.
That's what.
That's
but
our.
But we'll get into that next week.
We absolutely will. All right. Thank you, everybody. We will see you again next week.
All right.
Later.
See ya.